You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura with you on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yours truly, I am out at the PNC Bank in Mentor, enjoying a Browns tailgate party, our second one. We were in Strongsville PNC last week in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard today. Come on out and see us. There is free food. There is refreshment. There is interactive games. There's all kinds of things going on that you want to be a part of to check us out here. And also, Cleveland Browns tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Jameer Howerton had a chance to sit down with Browns strong safety T.J. Ward. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. TJ, you've had some time to digest the home opener against the Miami Dolphins. Just overall, what is your take?
Well, anytime you come out, you know, on a losing end, it's not good, you know. But what we take from it is grind harder, get better in this upcoming week. You know, everyone in division lost. So, you know, we're still tied for first place in the division. All we can do is come out this next week against Baltimore and get a W.
What areas do you feel from a defensive perspective that you guys can improve on?
We had some communication errors this first week that led to some key first downs for them. And I think if we get those fixed, then defensively we can get off the field and give our offense another opportunity to put some points on the board.
What in particular will you be working on this week in practice?
Just making sure that everybody's on the same page, you know, making sure that we communicate everything that's going on, all the checks, and make sure that everybody's getting them, you know, not just myself, but you know, that's going to be the work of the entire defense.
With today being the official day off for the players, what do you have going on today?
You know, just getting in the building, getting a head start on Baltimore, getting a little workout, get a little treatment, and, you know, relax.
How's the mood in and around the locker room? It was a very tough loss Sunday. How's everybody feeling?
You know, I think we're just eager to get on the next week, get on to Baltimore, and just move past this. You can't, you know, sit and dwell on what's happened in the past. You just move forward. And, you know, we have Baltimore this week, and they're a good team and defending their Super Bowl title. And we have to come in, and, you know, we're trying to win a division. So this is the first step.
With it being the first step in the division, how special would this week be? And like you talked about, the excitement of guys just getting back on the field, getting ready.
You know, it'll be something, you know, that hasn't happened around here for a while. You know, I don't think I've beat Baltimore since I've been here. So just beating them alone will change the whole mood around here. But I think, like I said, I think everybody is past what happened last week and, you know, moving on to what's in the future.
TJ, good luck this week.
Thank you.
Vic, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Jameer, sitting down with TJ Ward. And Nathan, I think the biggest takeaway there, a couple of things. One, he talked about the fact that there were some communication issues that they had to work on in the secondary. That
sure.
was clear. I mean, there were some,
yep.
some major breakdowns there. And I think, you know, what you can fix in a short amount of time with the people you have is really the issue.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do. You got to keep working on these things. At least, you know, there are identifiable areas for improvement, whether it be communication, whether it be technique, things that have been seen on film. You talked about this yesterday. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. So there are opportunities to make improvements against a Baltimore team that itself is going to have to be making improvements because they were shellacked in week number one. So it's not like the Ravens come in here with a ton of momentum for the Browns in week two, actually, when the Browns travel to Baltimore, I should say. But I also like the fact that he said, listen, you can't sit here and dwell on what happened in week one. It happened. We'd rather be 1-0. We're 0-1, but now it's time to get ready. There's another football game. The calendar doesn't slow down so you can sit and sulk, and it's time to get ready and try to do something that these teams have not been able to do, and that's beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, is that how this team handles this thing psychologically is a huge, huge discussion point this week. This is the coaching of Rob Chudzinski, the first major hurdle. He gets it right out of the box as a first-year head coach. How does he get this team focused on that game and unfocused, if that's the right way to put it, on what happened Sunday, because what happened Sunday is still going to be stuck in people's craw, not just angry fans, but you know from a player standpoint, you're dissatisfied with how things went, and you start, you know, doubts can creep in very quickly in this league. I mean, you start, you heard TJ also talk about the fact that he doesn't recall beating the Ravens since he's been a part of the Cleveland Browns. You know, that's a daunting thing. It should be a source of motivation, but it also plays into the idea that, you know, as a team, you got to look for something to be confident about. Going into M&T Bank Stadium to try to win a football game, I'll tell you what, is an enormous chore.
It is an enormous chore, and that's why it is a daunting task, because we said that the week one game was so critical, because knowing that this was such a daunting task and that, you know, going 0-1 could really mean going 0-2. And now I think it would be foolish to say they have no chance to beat the Baltimore Ravens, but it is a game that I don't think, you know, honest handicappers, anybody assessing the situation, say that the Browns are going to go into as the favorite. So it's time to kind of buckle up, I think, to assess what went wrong in week number one. I hope that the good news here is, whereas Brian Hartline is a guy as a number two receiver who entered this game having at least 1,000 yards receiving the prior season, Marlon Brown is a relative unknown. They also don't have a tight end. Now, they do have a good ground game, but the Browns enter the week with the number one run defense in the NFL. So if they can tighten up, they've done a pretty good job against Torrey Smith historically. I know he scored both times last year in the two meetings, but he's only been over 50 yards once in four career games with the Cleveland Browns. There are things that can be tightened up, and if they do that, this team will be in a position to win this game again in the second half as they were in the first game. Did they capitalize? No, they did not. That's why they're sitting here at 0-1. But if this team can continue to be in positions to win football games late in the second half of games, they are going to get things figured out, and they will win some football games.
216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Ryan in Norwalk. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, VIC, baby. What's up, Nathan? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
No, not too bad. I want to talk about the Cleveland Brown defense. For the most part, I think they played really, really well. But there's two plays. There were second-half touchdown drives by the Miami Dolphins, and one was a third down, and Chris Owens was in the nickel and went in for the blitz, and it was definitely man-on-man, and R. Gibson against their Gibson. R. Gibson was 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. I think he should have been a little more closer and at least jamming him off the route, because, I mean, Tannehill just had a hot read, and it was like pitch and catch right there for a first down, which in two plays later, Brian Hartline caught a touchdown. And then on the fourth quarter, it looked like Jabal Sheard, they were showing blitz right up the gut. Sheard and I think Robertson was back, you know, in the middle of the field, and there wasn't a Dolphin within 20 yards of them. And I really think, you know, they need to clean that up, because, yeah, I mean, that turned into 14 points, and we lost by 13. I'm not saying the defense blew it, because I think O'Neal Cousins, he was the one that blew it. But, you know, I mean, I think they need to tighten that up a little bit.
Ryan, thank you for the call. You make some good points, and T.J. Ward was just talking about it with Jameer Howerton about communication. I think when you see those kinds of gaps in the defense, that's generally what that's about, Nathan.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. And in the play that the caller was referencing there, it's just a situation where they did a better job than the Browns did at making the read. I think you'd like to see Tayshaun Gibson probably creep up as they're in the pre-snap there to get a little bit closer and take that away, because that was too easy. And there were a few times, and I wonder, Vic, if you felt the same way, but there were a few times I thought watching this game that almost too much cushion was being given, that too many throws were almost too easy. Because
yes,
if you know you're showing blitz right there, and they blitz off of the nickel corner, and they showed a man look at first with two deep safeties, and then the blitz off the corner there with Owens, Tayshaun Gibson has to be creeping up. You have to know on third down and nine, you have to be able to get to that receiver before 9 yards. And not only did he not creep up pre-snap, he waited for Gibson to come to him on the route, and he was afraid that he was going to go deep. You've got to come and play the first down marker. If they're going to try to do a double move, you have to think to yourself, we're blitzing, we're going to get to the quarterback. They're not going to have time to set up something that complex. So that I think that's a critical play, and you talk about listen, Tayshaun Gibson hasn't been out there a lot. That's why we talk about where are the issues on this team. It's in the back end. The safety, Tayshaun Gibson has not been out there a lot. He's learning the position. And then the number two cornerback, I believe right now, when on the outside especially, are overmatched. And that's what it was. The one play was a third down that took advantage of a little bit of an experience, I think, by Gibson. And then it was, of course, the double move to beat Buster Screen on the outside for the 34-yard touchdown.
Yeah, these were the hot spots, the nervous areas, the areas that made people uneasy within the Browns.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them came to fruition, especially, again, on that back end. And I think when you're giving cushions like that, you're doing that. Hey, that's not an accident. You're doing that because you don't trust the abilities of the people to handle the jam, because really, if you reroute people, that enhances your ability to get to the quarterback and do the blitzing and attacking. And I even think Horton didn't dial it up as aggressively as he wanted to, because the more you do that, the more on an island, the more risk you are putting that secondary in. All right, we're going to have more of your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci coming to you from the PNC Bank in Mentor, Plaza Boulevard. Nathan Zagura, my partner in crime here, is back in the Dog Bowl in Berea at Browns headquarters. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.